Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is Philadelphia Flyers defenseman, first round pick, and one tough son of a bitch, Sam Moran. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's going on, Nasty?
What's up, Riggs? How's it going, brother?
Yeah, going well, man. Staying strong. Past my bedtime, but
yeah,
good to spend a little time with you tonight.
I'm surprised. We'll try to make this quick so you don't fall asleep on me, buddy.
I'll be by myself here.
How about the Tampa Bay Lightning, brother?
Oh, man. As expected, nice to see fellow brethren, Patty Maroon, three-peat.
Yeah. Three-peat, Luke Shen, his second in a row. So happy for him. And I'm not sure if you saw you saw it. Kucherov, what a beauty this guy is. We've learned that in the last few days.
Ovi 2.0.
Oh, yeah. He took a picture with the Shens, and he's got his fist up all great. Right. And he's like, finally got him back from the big hit. I love that pose. That was so good.
Yeah, it was nice to see Braden in there.
I'm glad those guys. They still won the cup last year, but to get to actually sally with it, you know, and like have fun like you should be able to.
Exactly.
Was really cool. All these videos that are coming out, like you said, man, they're getting after it, bro. That's great. Dude, I couldn't even imagine. I wish I knew the feeling. Probably I'll never know, but it looks like the greatest. I mean, we won in the American League, and that was awesome. I mean, I'm not saying that was great. I did that twice, but man, I couldn't even imagine.
No boat Stanley parade. Cup. No boat parade for the old fans.
Yeah, a boat. Yeah. A boat. No. We did not have a boat parade. Did we have a parade? I don't even know what we did. No. Like, I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. We had a parade.
Yeah, it's around the spectrum. What was it?
Yeah, around the, we kept circling around the building. Yeah. That's probably what we did. I don't think any of us really remember, though.
No.
What happened?
Maybe a Main Street pub. Who knows?
I can't remember. It was a Main Street pub that night because I remember a couple people should have been driving and ended up got in some trouble, not the players in the team, but a couple friends of ours. But that's exactly where we went that night, to the Main Street pub.
Yeah.
Oof. It was a long one.
It was a rodeo.
Anyway.
I'm not sure.
Anyways.
Anything in the same league.
No, I don't think it's, that's, I don't think it's quite
back to back Stanley Cup.
God, man, dude, it's so cool. Jesus. Like, Patty's there again, right? Everyone, any free agent should be trying to sign in Tampa for the minimum. Right,
100%. Just to go back, right?
Play with Patty Maroon, you win a cup, boys. Oh, three, man, in a row. I talked to Chief today for a little bit. He was headed back to St. Louis, I said, "Oh, Big Rig." He goes, "Yep, boys." You know how he talks. Yep, boys. Just jump on the Big Rig's back. He goes, "He's winning every year."
Right.
Just the way he talks. Yeah. It's so funny. Oh, man. Anyway, that was cool to watch that, man. It's nice they got the win at home, too. I would have loved to see another game. I would have liked to see another game just to watch more hockey, but it was great, man. It was pretty cool. Good game.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be the same vibe winning it up in Montreal, and then it's just the same type of just a lack of connection I feel there.
Yeah,
or if they win, then you're going back. Well, then you're going back to game seven, and then they would have won.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been cool. But they were the better team.
They were the better team.
Montreal, I got to give them a lot of credit for know, yeah, I mean, for sure. No one expected them to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, yeah. you can't tell me someone had them going to the final. Maybe they did. I don't know, but yeah, I would never have tripped, especially down 3-1, right, to Toronto.
No kidding.
Like,
yeah.
And but they played well, man.
Yeah, they got you know, lots to look forward to. They just re-signed their coach there. I saw for three years, which was
that's good obviously for him,
expected after the run they had. So,
yeah,
some for positives sure, for sure, no question. But T-Bay, man, I mean, I saw a couple of those shirts, $18 million over the salary cap. You know, amazing job moving money around. And
oh, my God.
They're not going to have that luxury next year.
Oh, well, yeah, they could. Cooch could just take the year off and come back. Yeah, and
exactly. Come in the playoffs.
Blow the league up in the playoffs like he did this. It's fucking, it's amazing, man. I know they have a good team, but, dude, come on. Like, don't play a game and you just step in 3 points a night or whatever it was. Oh, I don't know how many he ended up with.
Silly.
Crazy, man.
Crazy. Silly. Well, Nass, let's move on and jump into our episode with Sam Moran, Big Sambo, episode 32.
Sambo!
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles. That's promo code Knuckles for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
I'm Derek Settlemyer, and this week we have a special guest, one of our good buddies, big number 55, Sam Moran. What's up, Sammy? Or what I usually say to you is, what are you saying, bro?
What are you saying? Yeah, I remember that. For a long time. I didn't understand that at the beginning, but now I know.
Took you a
what are you saying, bro? Oh, it was so weird, yeah.
He came in, and I'm like, he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, what are you saying? He's like, what's that? Like, what do you say? What's up? Oh, that's what that means. Okay. So every day we come in and be like, Nasty, what are you saying?
Yeah. No, that was routine. Yeah. I love it.
What's up, buddy? What are you up to these days? This summer?
Just summer training. You know, I'm home right now for a week in Canada, Quebec, Canada. And I've been training in Philly all those time with, Daniel, our trainer there. Big he's Dan. Awesome.
He is.
I've been in Philly, you know, just chilling, try to get that body healthy and stuff. So it's been good. Yeah.
Nice. And how are you feeling? I know it's been an interesting last couple of years, a lot of rehab, a lot of time off the ice, but this year was, you know, for you personally, it was arguably one of your best years as a pro. Talk about like how you're feeling and the recovery and the whole bit.
Yeah, obviously I played hockey last year, so it was good. It was fun. Yeah. Mentally, it was good to finally like be back with the boys on the road and stuff like this. Just like even if at the beginning I was not playing, I was on the taxi squad. I was just good to be back in just a normal. It was not normal because of COVID, but just kind of being with the boys and stuff. So, but yeah, my body feels good. I mean, I still have work to do, obviously to get back good, like feeling good. But yeah, this year was a huge step forward for me, and I'm pretty happy about it. You know, like if you tell me, hey, Sammy, beginning of the year, you're gonna play 20 game and NHL as a D-man, I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna take it. You know, and yeah, I was just a fun year. I kind of like learned, like I just miss it so much. You know, I just love hockey and just be back. Even when I was a little bit with the Phantoms there, I just loved it, and it was good to be back. Just you know. With the boys, just be with my team again, not in the rehab, alone in the gym, you know.
Yeah. It's a long road, hey? Man.
I saw you a lot of days, Sammy, in there by yourself, man, but One thing about you is you always have a great attitude and a positive attitude, and you're definitely one of the most fun guys to be around. And I know the boys loved having you this year. You could just see it on the ice and off the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to walk us through going into last season in your mentality. Cause I know we had a conversation in the summertime. You had a meeting with Alain Vigneault, and there was an adjustment to your position and the whole bit. But to walk us through all that, because I know there was a lot of the question marks and, you know, changing the game plan up a little bit. And then it kind of worked out in your favor in the end.
Oh yeah, obviously. So all that worked out. I think it was in September. I was the only one in Philly, you know, kind of working hard, really working hard on the bike and stuff like this, sweating out. Just working hard, and Lappy, the developer, came, told me, say, hey, he wants to meet with you after your workout. And I was like, oh, okay, that's crazy. Like, coach wants to talk to me. I didn't know. Like, in my mind, he's like, I don't even know if he knows I'm still there, you know? Like, I'm just right. I was like, okay. I went there, and he kind of explained to me a little bit what happened during the bubble hockey. And they were trying to find that physical guy, but they can't really find it anywhere right now in the league. They're kind of pretty rare now. And he's like, yeah, I want you to maybe consider play forward for me and on the fourth line and see how it's gonna go. I need a guy that can fight, obviously not fight, but just yet get a presence there, you know. And because obviously in the organization we have no one even now, like I'm sure they're gonna try to get some other guys, but something we need to get better at. And and as soon as I was like, I was really shocked. I mean, I was like, man, I'm not doing that. What the hell is this? Like, this kind of sucks. I'm a defensive defenseman, and I hate the other side of the blue, the red line. Like, but not I hate it, but like you know, like I'm just like offensively, like I know what to do as a D man, but I'm not a flashy guy for any means. I'm just like shoot the puck on the head, give it the puck to goals and let him do his stuff. Like that was my game plan, you know. Yeah. Defensively, obviously I'm in my kitchen there and I really like to be in the defensive side of the puck. But I call my agent and see what he said. And my agent, Pat Brisson, obviously was like, man, like just the fact that an NHL coach tell you that he's willing to give you a shot, you need to take it. You need to try and you need to have a good attitude and try to do it. And after that, I kind of like, yeah, I was like, yeah, he's kind of right. Talked to my parents a little bit. And obviously, I make a couple of phone calls. I see a little bit the guys that have that role. And obviously, Riles was on, I think Riles was one of the first one I call with Chris Stewart, you know, Chris Stewart, really good guy. Mm-hmm. And Riles, I was like, and you told me that the same thing. I was like, Stewart told me the same thing. You just chip the, like, you need to put the puck deep, finish your hit. Go change. And that's it. And like, you know, like it's just, and that was a little bit the thing. And obviously for me, I knew I need to prove that I can be one of the toughest guys in the league, but in my head, I kind of knew it. I can do it. It's something I was really good with the Phantoms. And obviously I didn't do it in a long time, but I was just willing to do it. You know, like I know like right now it's something I need to do. And and Riles gave me one of his coach that he had back then, and he was really good with me. I gotta work with him in August again. I need to text him actually. And
Marco Perazzo.
Yeah, Marco Perazzo. Yeah, great guy. Right, he's so funny.
Riles, don't do that anymore.
Riles, you were bigger back then. That's what I hear. I mean, I see picture too. Your neck was huge.
I was fat. I was a fat ass.
You were tough, man. I mean, you coached me to Phantoms. You were freaking crazy, man. You had a match, not crazy. You were awesome, but you were like fired up. I loved it. Oh, you're such a good coach. But you know, I call you and it is. But you give me some great advice and I really appreciate that because obviously, Riles, you've been my coach and I still think high of you and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Well, you made the right choice. I mean, you had a good attitude. You know, obviously it didn't work out up front the way, you know, you had envisioned it. And there's probably some disappointment when you land up going back to the Phantoms, but you go back to the Phantoms on D and you play very well and you get the call.
Yeah.
And now you're back up on D and you look comfortable and you look ready to rock and rock really solid, really.
That's a crazy story about it. That's like, So obviously, like, what happened? The only reason why I went back down is because there were so many injuries deep back there, and with the Phantoms. So Chuck, after a game, he comes see me. He's like, "Hey, Sammy, like, there's ton of injured guys on D right now at the Phantoms. We need you to go back and play. I think Friedman was just get picked up in the waivers and stuff like this, you know."
Yeah.
And so they didn't have an FD. So I go. I'm like, and as soon as they told me that, I was with Danielle Briere, actually, like Danny B, doing some extra stuff for him. And that was my last practice as a forward, and I was so happy, man. when they told me, just go. You need to go play some go play defense there. And my first game against Hershey, I was so happy, like in the warm up and stuff. You know, I was just like, first shift, like I do a good first. You know, I just get a good first pass and all that stuff. And I had a great game that game. And I was like, man, I loved it. And I played another game against Hershey. And after that, I talked to Gordo a little bit, and I told him, you know, like, I don't think I can do it anymore. I can't be a forward. And he's like, I think you should call Chuck. And that's what I did. I called Chuck and I told him what I was thinking, that kind of what I want to do. And he was like, obviously, he was okay with the addition, but you're probably gonna stay in the Phantoms. And I was like, yeah, it's fine with me. Like, you know, I give it a try. And with my agent, I give it a try, and I just don't feel comfortable doing it. And all of a sudden, Philly struggle, and you get a call, and that was Scarlett for his goal. And yeah, that was like home in like 2 or 3 weeks, you know. And I've been waiting for that opportunity all my life. Like, it was crazy, you know. Yeah, it goes so fast.
Yeah, that was awesome. We were, you know, every week we have we do our show here, and mm-hmm. we have other things that we jump on with other people. And we were crying for Big Sam.
Crying.
You know, calling this guy up.
Well, yeah, like we were ready, and we know you're ready because we both know you so well. But the best thing that, one of the things that we talked about, we did a post game one night. It might have been the night he scored. Hey, Riggs, was
yeah,
that
it was.
Night? We did a post game, and you just the whole game. Not because you scored the goal, Sammy, but it was the way you played. You just made it look easy. You got the puck. You made the pass. If you didn't have a pass, you got it out of the zone. Nothing's happening, but you're a presence that they need. You have to have a presence, and you bring that, which you know. And then to top it off, you score your first NHL goal. It gives me chills just because it was so great to see you finally get that. But just the way the team reacted, you could just tell. We talked about it a lot. You could tell you're like a team favorite guy. Like, you're fun to have around, like I said before, but it was awesome to see that. You know, lofts came flying. I mean, they were literally jumping up and down like it was a damn soccer goal or something. But it was great. It was great. Like I just came off the couch. I know we were all talking about it. But that was just what a night, man.
Yeah, what a moment. Yeah, that was. Oh my god, yeah, that was. I remember going to the bench, and actually, like, I was just on the ice when I score, and I go to the bench, and I can't play anymore, man. I just can't play. And like Yosi was like, yeah, that's fine, bro. I was going to put Provi in the ice. It's fine. I was like, yeah, I can do it.
You bench yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I was like, yeah, I bench myself. Honestly, I did. I was like, I score. Like, I had my strap was undone. I didn't have my gloves on me. I was like, so what is going on? It was so funny.
Did you watch the replay a few times?
Yeah, I watched. It's like, why my strap is undone? I have no gloves. I'm looking at the best Rangers. I'm chirping that Smith guy. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I got no idea. I sit on the bench. I'm like, everyone is like, what the hell? I was like, Yosi, I'm done. I'm done. 4 minutes left in the game. Put other guys on the ice. It was so funny, but you know, it was a great moment. And I know the boys, like, oh my god, like, my teammates are everything for me, and they're my best friends. And I think they went through the same. Like, they saw me grinding out in the gym, and obviously you saw it, Nasty. You were there.
Yeah.
And it was such a long road for me, and it was the best moment in my life by far. Like, you know, you get drafted, it's cool. You play your first NHL goal, it's cool. But the way that happened to me was oh my god, that was. I was like, what is going on there? I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was like, man, I was ready to like, when I got, I was ready to stop playing because I was like, man, like my body just can't hold up anymore. It sucks, but just the way it is. And now I'm playing in NHL again, which was my dream when I was like, I decided to play hockey. I was pretty young, 12 years old. Like I was like, I'm going to be an NHL player. And it was just crazy, you know? Yeah.
That was so fun. It was so fun to watch, man. I wish I could have been there, but I got to see it. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, you're part of it, Nasty. You know it. I love you, buddy. Yeah.
I love you too, buddy.
Yeah. And leading up to your goal there, I think that the game before is when you pounded on Brendan Lemieux. But when you got called up, I think
the
Flyers were, I guess, at a crossroads of their season. They were lacking that energy and that spirit. And then, you know, we had talked about it like on, you know, on the show and stuff about like the Flyers, like they need something, you need some sort of spark. And I was like, you know, when you got called up, I was like, this is it, man. Like, this is exactly what they needed. And then you had a couple of good games and then you pounded that Lemieux and then you got fined for it and you scored the next game. But then all of a sudden there was like this, it was just like a, you know, an added energy that was in the lineup that, you know, obviously you're one guy and these other guys have to be able to generate their own energy. But, you know, for that brief period, it seemed like, wow, it's like, you know, one guy could actually come in and make a significant difference as far as energy goes. So it was nice to see. And I think that was a testament to all your hard work and your attitude and everything you poured into it. But obviously it's a team game and, you know, that can only sustain itself so long. And then you have to have other elements that can help bring energy too, which I didn't think the team as a system didn't do a very good job towards the end of the season. But talk about that fight a little bit.
Shitly. Yeah.
What's that?
Go for it. Yeah, we get a shit here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say that.
Yeah. Go for it.
I was just going to say,
that
fight with Lemieux, you know, I know the way it started and everything like that, but I love your attitude in that fight is that you didn't give him a chance. You didn't give him a chance to make a decision, you know, because most of the times he would just like yap and then he would like skate away. But I know you got fined for it. It's probably not so much what you did. It was more the timing of it because it was like 4 minutes, maybe less. It was like a minute and a half in the game.
I think I took his hair and I pounded on the ice.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. But I mean, think about how much space he got from that. Think about that. Not that you didn't have space before.
No.
You're 6'6",
yeah,
you know, and tough. And then, you know, you do something like that, you get a lot of street credit. Yeah. And you play the Rangers, I think, the next game. And, you know, they obviously have a lot of respect.
What happened on this stiff is like, I mean, obviously, I wanted to fight him. Him and Smith, like, those two, man, I hate such pretenders. It's insane. Like, you know what? Pretenders are the worst. Like, they're like, kind of like, you know, that's what they are, pretenders. It's just the way it is. But so Lemieux is just yapping at her bench like crazy. I just finished my shift and like Coos look at me and say, hey, Lemieux is fucking yapping. Like, can you do something? And I'm just like, I'm on the other side of the bench. I'm a D-man. So like, it's not close to their bench. And I'm just like running, like, you know, from the D to the forward side, like absolutely running. And like, I don't know what I was saying. I was just shaking. Like, I was like, sit down, man. I got to kill you. Like, just, like, I think it was chirping lots or something. Yeah. Obviously, I love lots. So you don't chirp lots. Yeah. But anyway,
that's
I was just
rule.
Freaking out. Like, you know, like I was like, just sit down. You're the biggest pretender ever. And no one likes you. Like your teammate. That's why you got traded. You know, no one likes you. So after that, at the end of the game, I was like, I saw an opportunity to just like grab him. And I was like, you know what? I got to drop my gloves and I hope he does because I got to punch him in the face. And I got to give him credit. He dropped his glove. That's good. I mean, and after that, I just wanted to hurt. No, I don't want to say hurt him, but like at least he dropped his glove.
So
I
didn't ask like,
for that, but it's just, you know, and yeah. And because like no one, it's hard to find partners now. Obviously there's a lot of tough guys in other side of the West and stuff. So I would like to try that out a little bit, but it's hard to find partners, you know, it's just not the same. And it's the way it is. Even against Washington, very physical team, like no one to do nothing with me, man.
That's the thing, Sam, is that we talk about all the time. The game's changed a lot. We all know that.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't have a presence like yourself, guys get when Oscar has to come in to defend.
No, that's can happen.
I mean, and you know, and give him all the props in the world for doing that, and I know other guys do the same too, but that probably doesn't happen when you're on, when you're in the lineup. And that's one of the main things Riley likes to talk. I didn't play the game, but I was around it a long time. And you
saw it
when you have a presence there. You know, we had Riley there. We had, you know, Jay Rosio. Just go down the line. It's all, but the guys, you obviously have to be able to play, which Sam, you've proved you can play.
You need to. Yeah. You can't just be a tough guy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But like you said, presence. Yeah. It's that presence you bring is so important.
The game changed so much, though. You said it. Like, it's not the same. And I'm a first rounder. I can play the game. It's just like, obviously, all my injuries and stuff. Like, with the Phantoms, I was a good player, you know. I think Ralph's coached me. I did a really good job there. And obviously, I was fighting. It's just part of me. I was a young guy. I was doing it. But just I remember, like, against Boston, like, that Frederick guy was just always annoying. And G was in the room, and he was like everyone was talking about this, how annoying this guy is. And G was like, just stop talking about him. Sammy's going to take care of him, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, like, guys kind of – I like the fact that they know I gotta handle it, you know, I like that because I can't do it. And you can just play your game. When you don't need to waste energy on that fourth liner, I gotta do it. Like, and obviously he's never gonna do anything because he's a pretender. He's just the way the league is now, Riles, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
But just having you're
all tough, they're all tough, but when the big guys come at them, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's the beauty of it is like it's not always about the fight, right? It's just about having that presence. So maybe that fight or that cheap shot or that crossing of the line doesn't happen. Like you look at Washington and the Rangers towards the end of the season with Wilson and you know that if Rangers had like anybody even half as tough as you, you know what I mean?
In the
lineup, like, you know, it maybe doesn't happen the way it does, and we're not talking about, you know, Panarin getting, you know, mollywopped by Wilson and whatever else, you know, however you want to view that. It was like, you just had someone to kind of like neutralize Washington. But, you know, yeah, it's long gone are the days of having like three or four heavyweights.
No, it is.
Starting to see the game off with a fight and the whole bit. But having you around, whether you fight or not, it is enough to deter some shit to happen. I mean, there's no question. It's still very, very apparent in the game, but. I just don't like the fact that guys hide behind the rules and then, you know, act tough, like you said, acting, you know,
that's rat, the thing.
Pretending and then cowering, you know. That's to me is a problem.
Yeah, for sure. It is. And the game changed so much. It's insane, but you need to be able to play, and sometimes you still like I know my role, you know. I know I'm not gonna play like every game and stuff like this, but like I'm more of a depth guy now, and I really accept it, and I'm good with it. But you know, I'm ready to do that role. And sometimes you need a guy that can answer the bell, and are just like it's just one game or two games or three games, and guys feel like bigger. They have bigger shoulder, like, you know what I mean. Like they can. My teammates are, and a lot of guys told me that when I was playing, they feel like bigger. You know, like some of the guys are feeling bigger because there's a guy that's going to back you out, you know?
Yeah.
100%.
That's exactly what we were talking about the whole time. So you did a great job. Like I said, you didn't try to do anything fancy. You played your game, made your first pass, you know, finished your checks, cleared that crease out, you know, I mean, do what you're supposed to do. And you did a great job, and it was nice to see you to get, you know, 20 games in and hopefully a lot more next year, buddy.
Yeah. So yeah, just I see what happened, but yeah, I'm excited for what's coming, you know.
No doubt, and you know, 20 games in a condensed season as well, you know. So it's nothing to shake a stick at. And I was gonna say, like, what's your mental preparation going into the season? So you've now established yourself as an NHL defenseman, right? Not a forward defenseman. I think you've learned to simplify your game, right? I mean, even at the Phantoms level,
it's
always about simplifying the game and just like making that first crisp pass and
exactly.
Not hanging on to the puck too long. Like, where do you go from here? You're taking some, you know, training with some, you know, maybe Greco-Roman wrestling and that, you know, the fighting stuff as a defenseman.
Yes.
Like, what are you working on this summer so you can actually, you know, like take that next step?
So I didn't touch the ice right now. I gotta probably start skating in August. Obviously, I work with Dan right now, and Big Sammy, Charles Samuelson, is around still, and I think he's great. He's gonna help me with that stuff. Funny stuff with Charles when I told him I was gonna be a forward. So He was freaking out.
I bet. I could just see. I could just hear him.
He's like, no, man, no.
You poured like 5 years of time and effort with you.
I know.
Yeah, he put so much time with me. He was like, I know you can play defense in NHL. Like, what's going on? I was like, yeah, but I need to like listen to what they think. And he's like, I know, but he's like, Sammy, like, no. He's like, no. He was like, give me a big no. Like, but anyway, yeah. But I got to work with him again. And yeah, just like I'm so in a good mental state right now, you know, with my game. I know what I need to do to be efficient. It's a simple game, but I know I can make some plays. And I got to, with my meetings with Chuck and Avi at the end of the year, you know, like Avi told me, like he was surprised by how much like some plays like I was making, you know, finding the middle of the ice. Obviously it's a simple play, but you need to be a fun as a demon to find the middle of the ice on the breakout and stuff like this. And just a good first pass. And when the puck is in my zone, I need to be able to break it out and take it out. You know what I mean? And I got some really good games in my 20 games I was doing that. I got some so-so games sometimes, so I need to be more consistent on that level. But, you know, I'm just in a good mental state right now, and I'm just know what I am and what I'm going to bring and to a team, you know, and I'm really comfortable with this. I'm not going to score 20 goals or you know, like stuff. Like, I'm going to do my job, and that's what I'm going to do, and I'm really happy with it, and I'm proud to do it.
Listen, Sammy, you're exactly right, but I do need to tell you this. You are tied with Riley in goals.
Oh, I am?
This and
all right, you're in trouble, bro.
Yeah.
I know, I'm in trouble. No, I'm in big trouble.
You have one goal, too? I thought you had more.
One of the best goalies in the world.
Yeah, he scored on Carey Price. He scored on Price.
Oh, wow. I mean,
it was a snipe, too, actually. It was a snipe.
That's
it just
awesome.
Sucked because it was 5-1 or something when he scored. So he couldn't even celebrate.
You're like, oh, man.
I lined up and tried to fight Steve Beijing the next shift. I was like, my job's Beijing. Not over.
Yeah. That's another. Yeah, yeah. But no one's never going to take it away from me. You know, you score in NHL, the best league in the world. And yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to get there.
I wasn't in a position to go on the bench and throw my gloves off and undo my helmet and pack it in for the game.
Yeah, you're right. Like me, like, and bench yourself.
I'm done, coach.
Stay in the bench. Yeah, you're done.
I'm going to end on that note right there.
No, yeah, I'm walking out the place right now. It's good for me. It's so fun.
You were the number one star, weren't you?
What's up?
Were you the number one star?
Yeah,
I was
no helmet, and I was like, oh yeah, and the boys just shower me, like, you know, with water.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was like, ooh, yeah, like I said, it was like a dream, like, you know, like, yeah. Like, you know, like I'm gonna be like, what, 80 years old, and I like think about my life, and I'd be, this is probably the best moment. I couldn't imagine better, you know, like couldn't imagine better. It was just, I would think about it, and it's just the best moment in my life by far. Like, what a time. And just with my teammate too, was the best.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was awesome, yeah. For sure. Now, Sammy, have you been out on the links at all? Probably haven't been able to play too much golf, have you?
I actually played yesterday, my buddy. So I just played four times this year. I saw Rally there by the Flyers Alumni.
Oh, okay.
Tournament.
Okay.
Yes, I was there. Yeah, I saw your dad too there.
Did you?
Actually, yeah.
Did you rest your beer on his head? Because he's pretty short.
Oh, no beer
he's
for me.
Short. Yeah, well, water. Sorry. Did you,
water.
Did you rest the water on his head when he was standing beside?
No, he gave me like some golf balls. Right? Like, guy, he's like, you hit the ball. I was like, I don't hit really well.
That's not true, man. That's not true.
No, actually, yeah, I got a little bit better. Yeah. And actually, my team at the tournament, we won.
Oh.
I was playing with really, really good golfers.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't carry that team at all, but we won the tournament, the Flyers Alumni. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. I've played with you a few times, as you know. I know you love snakes. The people need to know
yeah,
that.
The snakes. That was disgusting. You still have to. Oh yeah, I got an Instagram video. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of snakes more than anything in the world. Oh my god, that was bad.
He got you good.
See that?
It'll be on the episode.
I didn't see. He told me about. Oh yeah, we're gonna be pumping out with the episode. So.
Oh my god, I probably laugh. Like, what was that? Like the. hole 8, I think, in Whitcrest. Yeah, that was. And
you remember the hole and everything.
Double bogey. Oh yeah, I remember yeah, exactly it was where eight. It was.
Yeah,
double and I just probably did a double bogey with Ghost and Stoli. And I just walked to my. I was with you in the cart, and I just put my thing. I just like, and I go to go drive, and I see that huge snake there, absolutely freaking out, like I was like, what the fuck? Like oh, I was yeah. screaming.
He was losing.
And after I see it, I was like, oh my god, it's a fake snake, like man. But like, I almost step on it, you know? Like I hate snakes, man. Like man, I'm sorry,
I
but
too.
I know
I
people.
Too. I do too.
Some people love it. I'm just a little bit scared of them, just the way it is.
Yeah. That's what my dad always is like. He knows how much I hate snakes. He's like, you hate snakes more than anything. You're petrified of them, yet you're always throwing a fake snake and scaring people. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just fun. I don't know.
Yeah, you know it was nasty right away,
joke, man.
Once you figured out it was a fake snake, oh, and he was nasty. Wait,
oh yeah, nasty. Like,
well, he ran.
Like,
a
I think
lap
I saw. First. Yeah, I ran a lap, and I saw like. I saw the video you did with Raph too, like a couple of years ago. I was like, and this is a really good one too. Like, you open the cooler, and this is
pretty yeah,
like,
yeah, right?
Like, Jesus. But yeah, it's just, I, yeah, that was a funny with Ness. It was a good, oh yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I'll tell Ness, you, Sammy, your golf game though, I think I was really one of the first times you played, and then playing again with you last year. I think we played before you went to the bubble.
Yeah with Ghost
and his and Reader his buddy,
his buddy.
Reader.
Yeah,
and we got Reader with the snake
that's a great guy. Reader's
but
awesome.
He's awesome, just got married. But your swing is unbelievable. Like, you have a great swing for a fucking man your size. I mean, you really do. You improve so much from the first time.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing like 3 years ago with Ghost and Stoli, and I was like, man, this is the hardest sport I ever, like, you know. And actually, like yesterday, I thought I was pretty solid, but I say that every time. Like, I go to the ring, see Ghost. I'm like, hey, Ghost, I'm pretty good at golf now. And he's like, okay, let's go play. And I absolutely stinks. He's like, ah, you know.
He's pretty good. Oh, my
God. Oh, Ghost is really good.
So
yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hits the ball 300-something out there and throws it on. He's putting for birdie. He's putting for birdie every
day. Yeah. He's a, nice. Ghost is a really good golfer.
Really good golfer.
Yeah.
Nasty's seen my golf game. It's pretty.
Is it good?
No. It's bad. Really bad. Nasty.
He usually quits Sambo around 12 or 13 and just rides in the cart. I'll drive.
Why?
I can only play nine holes, I think. It's just because I just shit sucks so bad that like eventually, like, you know, you hit a good shot every like four or five or something like that, but then it just like wears on you. Just like, you know, maybe I just gotta
come back tomorrow. When you get better, man, it's fun.
Yeah, I know. I believe that for sure. But it's such a grind, and I only get out like twice a summer. So every time I'm golfing, starting from scratch and never really improve. But
yeah, that's for
fun,
sure,
man. Especially when you're around a good group of guys. Mm-hmm. It's certainly some laughs and some shanks.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man.
So you know, you talk about Ghost. I know Lots is one of your good buddies. You know, there's a few guys in the Phantoms that you grew up, you know, in your early pro career with. Talk about your relationship with some of these guys and how you've supported each other throughout, you know, the early years, because you're kind of competing, especially with some of these younger defensemen that you were, you know.
Yeah, we were a lot of young D-men back then. Yeah, you're right. And for me personally, on the ice, I compete like no one else. Like, I always try to be the most annoying guy ever. But off the ice, they are... I think it's another game, and you know, those guys like Ghost, Hager. Or that back then was Ghost, Hager, Sani. We also kind of those four. Provi, like everyone got drafted. Mizey, you know, all those guys. Like, we're a lot of guys that kind of played together. But for me, it's always been off the ice. Always been different, and I those are my brothers. You know, they're my really good friends, and they're always gonna be. And obviously on the ice, it's another thing. You always want to, for me, I always want to improve. And obviously I want your spot, you know, that's the way it is. That's how you get better. But I would never, like, you don't back. I just work hard. Like, it's just, I know some teams, like, especially in the AHL, I did say like AHL, sometimes it can be a little bit bitchy because someone get called up and all of a sudden like guys are mad and stuff like this. But I think your group with the Phantoms and stuff, he always been really good. And I think Lotz is a really good example when he came down. And that year he was in NHL the year before, and he came down in the conditioning stint for a year,
for almost a year. Yeah,
you always say that. It's so funny. But yeah, he's a good example of that, a guy that just just work hard, you know, have a good attitude and be a good teammate. And that's what he was. And that's all the guys are here. Flyers, we are a great group. And, you know, Nasty, Rouse, yep, too, and those, all the guys. We got good boys. Like, the guys are just great, great group.
Great group.
Obviously, this year was not good, and it's pretty sad because obviously he's going to have probably some change and going to lose a couple of the boys, good friends, but just the way business is. But yeah, really good group. And that's fun because young guys are coming in and they kind of follow, like, Ferriby, Frosty, guys like this. Just like, they're the same. They just learn from the boys, and they're good guys, you know?
Yeah, really good guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't understand how important that is to have that good, you know, positive attitude in the minor leagues when guys get called up, because it works against guys. As soon as you get sour and think that, oh, I should have been
guy,
and then you complain to one guy, and then it gets to the coach, and then all of a sudden you're that guy, and now you've kind of separated that of support, and you know?
And when Gordo's coaching, like, you don't want Gordo on your back, man.
No, you don't want him on your
like,
back.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, sometimes you just, I don't that Gordo really helped me, but sometimes you're just a target, and if you have a bad attitude, you're gonna know. And like, this is, obviously, I think, you don't want that. It's just the way it is, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you've done a great job, even before your injuries. And I think the attitude, like, when I think of Sam Morin, I just think of, like, you know, the ultimate competitor. Like, you know, like, I've always rooted for you, and not any other reason besides that you want it so bad. And it's like, it's hard not to root for guys that want it so bad. And you've had your adversities, as we talked about, your injuries, but your attitude's never changed. In fact, I think it's gotten better, and I think you've worked harder.
Somehow, yeah, for sure.
You know, and then here we are having this conversation about you having your best, you know, pro year this past year after all this adversity, and you're going into this next season with all this confidence. So, I mean, and it's nothing more than what I see is your effort and your attitude. Maybe you can talk to that. Is that, like, something, obviously, that you were brought up being really, you know, engaged with and focused on? Because that's not something you just pull out of your ass and have.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm from a small town, you know, you too. You're from Manitoba, right? Winnipeg, yep. Like, you're a little, I mean, I'm from my parents, the way I see it, the way, like, they build their company, their catering business and stuff like this, they start from scratch and they just work. I see them work in the weekend, work. Like, a lot of sacrifice. Christmas time, they were not there because my grandparents were taking care of me, because they need to, like, build a business and pay for those bills and pay for my hockey stick and stuff like this. So they're my foundation, you know, like, as me, like, in life. And I truly believe anyone that put his mind in something and you really put your time and you work hard and you believe in yourself, you can do anything you want. And that's how I always have a mindset of, man, like, I was, like I said, I was in a car with my dad, and I just, like, I think I broke my arm, like, or something. I was, like, young, 12 years old. And I look at him and I was like, hey, I think I really like hockey. I think I got to play in NHL. That's what I'm going to do in life. And my dad looked at me and he was like, yeah, kid, like, yeah, just, like, calm down there. You're like 10 years, 12 years old, you know? And even at school, like people were coming and they were like, Sammy, what are you going to do? Like, you need to choose, like, something to do later in life. And I was always picking hockey, and it was like, it's not possible. It's not. I was like, it's not possible. What do you mean? Like, you just all my friends were going out and stuff like this. And me, I was just working out, like, not working out, but, like, I was just practicing and stuff. So that's kind of always been my mentality, is hard work always going to, like, work, is going to pay off. I mean, obviously I didn't play a ton of NHL game stuff, but for me, like, just being there, it's only my work ethic. Like, it's the only thing. Like, obviously, like, I think if I have a bad attitude and I was not working hard, I would have been gone a long time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But I know, like, Chuck's, like, you know, he sees it. Like, this, the staff, they see someone that works hard and is wants to be here and wants to get better. And that's just the way it is. And that's what that's how I got raised by my parents. And I'm always going to be like this until I'm 80, like, until I die, I think. Like, I just want to get better in life and try to be the best person I can be, and that's I think that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's infectious, your attitude, Sammy. It's nice to have guys come into the rink and always have a smile on their face and
and
happy that you're there, you know, and appreciate it and not mm-hmm. take it for granted. You've always, even if you don't play, right? Right.
For me, I was hurt and I was still going at every game. I was still like, guys were winning. I was like, you know what? I'm not part of it. I mean, I'm not really part of it. Though. But I'm going to be there and shake them after the game. You know, I got to be there. They're going to see me in my crutches and I'm still there. And that's what I was doing, man. I was like, every game, I'm going to go at every game. I don't need to, like, I'm hurt. Like, no one knows if I'm there or not there, but like, just the fact that for me, I'm there and they see me around is that I'm still want to be part of that team and stuff like this. I think that's what you need to do, especially when you're hurt for like a long time, like I did. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you too, I know you've evolved, you know, with your philosophy on training and recovery, right? Obviously, maybe these mm-hmm. injuries maybe change your perspective completely on how to take care of yourself. But, you know, you've matured as a player and you've matured off the ice as, you know, as a human being and learning how to take care of yourself. Like, talk to like your mentality towards like your off ice training, you know, maybe comparing it from like your early pro days when you're like, you know, we're mm-hmm. trying to earn a spot and we're like, you know, in this extreme, you know, warrior phase to maybe more of this recovery phase and learning how to maintain what you have and stay healthy, you know?
It changed for me a lot. Good question, Ralph, because when I was young, I was pounding the gym, get bigger, get stronger. And I kind of loved it. Like that was competition against my other teammates and I love that stuff. But I was like, I can't do it anymore. My body's going to can't hold up. So right now, like you said, it's all about like me, for me, preserving what I have, get stronger and healthier. And there's a lot of stuff I'm doing, like in the pool with Dan, pool workout. I just don't put really weight on my shoulders anymore. My knee is going to not blow up, but it's going to get inflamed if I put too much loading on it. After all those injuries, there's two ACL, meniscus tear and all that stuff. So you can't, I can't load up my knee anymore. And obviously there's a lot of supplement you take now, try to get, like I take your CBD stuff, your CBD oil, that I take that I like, for inflammation, it's kind of natural. And there's other stuff that I really like for me that works. Everyone is different, right? You need to find what works for you, because I really believe that the human body is some stuff works for someone and some stuff doesn't work for other guys. For me, like personally, it's all about reducing my inflammation, right, in my body and in my knee, especially my knee. I want to feel good. So I take some turmeric too during the season and stuff that personally help me. Like it's in my head, but I really feel it does. And like I said, the pool really helped me. Like I'm in the pool like 3-4 times a week and do some movement, pumping that fluid out and get all my range of motion back and stuff like this. Honestly, I think I could be a really good rehab guy for ACL. I know the knee well.
Yeah.
I swear to God, like I think I'm better than any. You put me against a physio, like two ACL, like sure I can rehab it better. Like someone fresh from the school, you know, like that. He studied a book.
You got the experience.
You get experience. Life is about experience. 100%. That's what I believe. I know. I know it. I went through it, and I know exactly what step to do, what not to do. Because I fail. Like my ACL fail, right? So I know what kind of was not good for me a little bit, and what was good for me. I adapt and stuff. But it's a grind. Yeah, it is, for sure.
Couple times, Riles. You know, like in the summertime, some of the boys come over to hang out by the pool, and we were shooting some basketball in the pool and stuff, and Sammy was doing a couple little exercises real quick, just goofing off. And his workout partner was Elvis. So, and I'm like, Elvie, let's just let Sammy get his stuff done. And, you know, Sammy's like, it's okay. And so now, even today, like Elvis is like, oh, we got to do a quick workout in the pool, Dad. He's trying to do all this. Good job, bud.
Obviously I reuse your pool because it's good stuff, you know, like Nasty is a great guy and he was still in touch and we use the pool there to do some exercise. Really nice pool you got there.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, Elvis loves that. But anyway, man, yeah. You're right. Riles knows more about that stuff than I do. But we had talked to Reamer, JVR, Sammy.
Oh, Reamer is great. He helped me so much.
Yeah, I was going to say, at first, guys kind of laughing at him, giving him shit all the time. But I'm telling you, it's like we said to him, he's getting better. Like every year he's
Reamer is crazy. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
You talk about a work ethic. This guy is committed to his job the most of all the team. Like, and it's off the ice, like crazy, it's like nutrition and all that stuff. Wow. Reamer really helped me. I think he tried to get me on some stuff, Superman stuff. And it's too much, man. It's too much work for me sometimes. Like, him, it's like Reamer, it's like, hey, like you need that pill before you eat breakfast, and after you take that pill after breakfast, and during the workout you get something to take after workout before you eat lunch. Like, it's insane. It's just his dedication is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, he's doing it, and he's just a great pro. Him and Moose, Elliot, two good guys, that two veterans that obviously really got some injuries. Like Moose was in the same boat as me a little bit. And really helped me on some a lot of stuff, and I can't be thankful enough for those two guys. Yeah, Reamer still text me the other day. He's my boy. I love it.
Those guys are great. Are really, you said that perfectly. They're great pros, and they're mm-hmm. great for our locker room. Those two,
yeah, great for young guys. They come in and they see those guys doing that.
Yeah, like, that's exactly right. Yeah.
That's what it takes. Like me, you need to be good at hockey, but if you want to sustain and have a long career, like JVR did, it's a long career. Like Moose too. Moose is 36 years old. It's playing in NHL. It's over. Like when you're past 30, you're now older. Like it's insane. So it's really impressive what they're doing, and like it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's super important stuff. We talked to JVR about this, and he's so humble with it. He doesn't even recognize how much of an influence he has on younger guys. But if more younger guys, bought into this earlier, it's about, you mentioned, it's like self-preservation, right? I mean, you're only as good as the physical body, and if you get injured, I mean, there's no paychecks coming in. Maybe for the end of that year, and that's it. So the sooner you can adapt to this and kind of get. Thinking more in the lines of longevity and recovery versus like always thinking the way you did earlier. Cause that's the way I thought it was too. It's like work, 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 work. And Nasty knows me. Like, I felt guilty if I took a day off. Like, I would come in on days off just because I felt like in my head, I had to earn, I had to keep earning my position to a point where it actually hurt me. And it's like, it actually was working against me. But to be able to shift.
But you saw me my first year of the Phantoms, right? You saw me I was 100%. Staying on the ice. Like, if I was not the last one on the ice, I was feeling guilty. It was like, I'm not working hard enough. I'm not like that. But like, and I started changing. I think it's when you left my third year. I was like, and I was talking with Dan about that. Like, he's like, Sammy, like, you, because the monitors are highs, like, like how much we work. And he was like, in your warm up before games, in a warm up, you're playing like a full period because you're skating everywhere. He's like, so if we do a 3-3, you actually do a 4-4 because every game you're doing a one period, like it's like you're skating one period, like, extra time. Yeah. He was like, you need to like learn how to like kind of like chill.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And learn to like listen to your body and when it's time to work, you work hard, but it's time to relax and just stay home and don't do stuff, like just play video games. It's the best.
Yeah. It's a hard one to wrap your head around because you're so conditioned to like, when you think of work, it's like this high intensity work all the time. And what I've realized in my own life, and it sounds like it's the same in yours and JVR's, it's now wise effort, right? It's like, you understand what you need, what your body needs, you listen to your body. And then you work accordingly. You're not overly taxing it. You're focusing more on recovery and regeneration and repair versus like that grunt work all the time where you're actually at some point doing yourself.
For me, right now what I learned personally is I'm with Dan and we make a plan. With my knee and stuff, I need to, when I don't move, it starts getting a little bit hecky. you know, the joint and stop joint pain a little bit. So I need, right now, I just take one day off a week. But like today, like a Saturday, it's not like intense stuff. Like I go do some movement. I don't like load my back and stuff like this. So it's all about like kind of listening to what's better for you. So for me personally, like even if like I'm still at the gym, but I'm not like working hard, I'm just doing some stuff to like recovery, you know, like get my body feeling good. Like I'm not like pounding on it, but it's just everyone is different. Like you need to know what's bad, good for you, what's bad for you. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. You ever tap into a little yoga?
A little bit. I'm absolutely terrible at it. you should see me doing that. Yeah. But yeah, like man. I'm so, yeah, 6'7", like yeah. The guy, like, and I got like the tightest body ever. I just always be tight. But no. I like,
Jake's
meditation though.
Yeah.
Jake's body is tighter than yours.
Is it Jake's tightest body in the league?
Jakey, for sure.
Yeah.
He said he'll admit to that.
He gets hurt when he stretches.
Yeah. He gets hurt when he stretches.
That's what he says. I can't stretch. I'll get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the meditation part of yoga. Like I like to relax and like, I like classical music. So before I go to bed, a lot of times when I'm a little bit stressed and stuff, because everyone is sometimes they have a big game or something, I just put my AirPod and I just listen to like, actually Jared Spencer, like, he really helped me in this, like put some music after games. Like before I was like, in the plane or in the bus, I was listening to like music that helped me. But now I listen to classical music after games, so my body can like
relax,
just relax. And I know it's not yoga, but it's a form of like
a form of meditation,
relaxation.
Yeah,
for me that really works. Like, so I can go to bed because, like, you know, some guys really struggle sleeping after games.
Oh,
it's
for
hard.
Sure, that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you get back, I'd love to run you through, maybe do some yoga with you, because I'm now a certified yoga instructor. But
you are? Okay, yeah, you told me that. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah,
funny that you mentioned the whole I'm not good at it thing, and I think like that's the one thing that I had to get over, and I think that's the ego telling you this, is that like the practice of yoga is not a competition. It's not about being good or bad at anything. Mm-hmm. It's just about meeting the mat at where you are. And then the yoga practice itself is a meditation. So it's moving it's moving as you can to breath, right? And you shouldn't be stressing your joints and taxing your body. It's really a low impact, physical exercise.
Yeah.
There's more to it for the mind and the whole bit. So I think it's just getting over that. Like I need to be good at something, or I need to be, flexible, or you know, this thinking with ego really kind of gets in the way, and just kind of like man, you should have seen me when I first started yoga. It was like the ugliest thing you ever seen. Like, you know, I was fat, out of shape, and I was, you know, struggling to even breathe.
Yeah,
75-year-old woman that.
But we're so tight. How did
so you tight, like
shoulders,
so tight.
Right, all fours,
yeah, groins, like, yeah, hip flexors. Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm still working.
Yeah, like he's taxing.
Years of kinks. Yeah, yeah. Man. It's humbling,
Sammy. Sammy, on the yoga front there, you definitely got to have to join Riles, but you have to wear, he has a new line of leggings that came out.
Leggings?
Yeah.
Wow.
He looks so cute in them. They're really tight leggings. Who said that? Oh, PJ Stock came on and he was like, Riles, I don't know, man. You were so tough. And then now I see you in these poses in your leggings.
In your leggings.
I don't know. What are those things called the women wear? The ballet, those warm sock. I don't know what the leg warmers. They're he wears those too, Sam. It's kind of strange to see.
I mean, I think Rouse just evolved, you know? Like,
exactly.
You know, yeah, it's his after career, man. He's he doesn't need to like be the big boy with the long hair, the big neck.
Anymore. Oh, he's letting the hair grow.
I'm growing the hair out, but the big body is out of style, man.
The neck, like your picture. Your matcha, like, you know, it's insane how huge you are, like insane. Like, and you told me, you were like,
I think you had your head back too.
Neck almost.
I was trying to pose, you know, I was trying to look big and flexed and swollen.
You're pretty intimidating, I can tell you that.
I'm a buck 80 now, Sam, man. I'm lean.
You were 230, right?
No, I was like between 215 and 220, but I'm 180 pounds.
Oh, okay, 220. But that's 40 pounds.
That's a lot. You think about it, I think of myself as a professional athlete. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah. I was so far from being a professional athlete. I knew nothing about how to take care of myself. And to, you know, I look back on some of the archaic training that I did back in the day. Nasty can attest to some of it, but you know, silly stuff where like I'd tie a weight to a towel and I would bite on it and do some like neck curls with this. It's like you talk about damaging your spine and neck and doing such silly stuff. I was just like,
Oh my god.
Oh man,
you were really doing that. That's so funny. But I mean, we're doing next exercise now. I'm still doing that, but it's a little bit different than that.
It's not like that.
He's biting a towel.
He was doing the caveman stuff.
When he was playing, he was doing the caveman workout.
That's so funny. That's good.
Yeah, man. So you're back to Philly next week, I believe, and then you're getting preparing for the ice and getting working with Dan.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, working out with Dan again. I think that, you know, Dan, you work with him in the Phantoms.
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy. Actually, one of the best person. Like, he's my best. He's my friend. Like, he's a confident for me. Like, when I was going all that stuff, because I'm really close to him, obviously. Him and his wife, Tam. They had a baby, too.
Yeah,
like,
they had a baby. That's awesome.
Yeah. What a guy. I just appreciate everything he did for me all the time. But, yeah, I'm working out with him. And I really trust him. So much. Yeah. He knows me and knows my body. And so that's what we're going to do. And we have a good plan and get me ready to go for the season. And I'm pretty excited. Yeah. And I'm excited to having another hockey season, you know, like,
yeah, man.
It's going to be another good one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be even better, buddy. Got a good feeling for you.
Yeah. And you're going to be just building off what you accomplished last year personally. And obviously your confidence in the way you're feeling right now is going to keep growing. Is there any other guys floating around the area when you get back? You'll be training with other guys, or is it just kind of you for?
Carson Chwinski is here. Okay. Carson, he's working hard too. Ghost is around. Matthias Samuelson, son, is a big boy. What a great guy.
Yeah, great.
Is around too. And Tanner Lisensky is around.
Yeah.
We're five guys right now. Shushko. So a lot of. The only older guys are me and older guys. I'm old now, Nasty.
You are
25. Hey, happy birthday, buddy! When this comes out, it'll be a couple days past your birthday.
Oh yeah, I gotta be 26.
I know. Elvis reminded me. He knows everyone's birthday. It's kind of freaky. He's telling the other night, Sorelli from Tampa Bay, like from Tampa. He goes, "Oh, Dad, his birthday's the same as mine." I'm like, How the hell do you know that? I understand how he knows all these you guys because he just follows everything you guys do. So he told me your birthday was 3 days before. He knows everything. Anyway, when we need stats, we ask it by
He's a stat guy. Yeah, you should.
Bring him in the back office, man. Bring him in the back office. Break down some numbers.
Elvis, what a beauty. Miss him.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, he misses you guys too.
For a big boy now, too.
Yeah, his thing is he wants to be 6'9", and I'm like, Elvis, that is not going to happen, buddy.
Not in the set of my genetics or what?
Thank God, you know, everyone, Riley, I've told you, everyone on the Settlemyer side was tall, except for me and my dad, because my dad's mom was 4'11".
No way.
So, yes, and guess what her nickname was? Shorty. That's what everyone called my dad's mom.
Okay.
But everyone else was six. The shortest other Settlemyer man was 6'1". Everyone else was tall. I had two cousins. They're twins. They're 6'8". So I always was hoping I had a chance, but I didn't, Sam. It just didn't happen. But Elvis has a chance because everyone on his other side is 6'3" and over.
You know what? My dad is 6 foot. Is 6 foot, and my mom's 5'6".
I know. I remember us talking about that.
Yeah. So I drink a lot of. Me being from a farm area, a lot of raw milk. You know, good food.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah, just give him some raw milk. Yeah, right from the cow. That's what I was doing. Exactly. My aunt and my cousin have a farm, and they're just like feeding me with this.
Well, it worked, buddy. It worked.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it did. I was always a big boy.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Were they all natural grass fed cows, or are they?
I'm not sure about that, Ralph, back then. Yeah. It's not what you think it was, but they were good cows. Erna, I don't know if they have names, but yeah. They're still having.
Go back to your homeland and thank your cows for the nourishment.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah. Actually, today my mom is inviting all my my family. We do a little barbecue, so I'm gonna see all my aunts and my cousin and stuff. So I didn't see them for almost a year or two. So it's they're all living around here too. So close to like they have a chicken farm too. Like
guys got everything. Your chicken, milk.
Yeah. Yeah, everything.
That's all you need.
It's huge. You should see. You should come here and see that. I mean, they're not organic. I'm sorry, Riles. It's not organic, but it's still a farm
for sure. Yeah.
But it's not organic. That. Yeah. I know. It's all good.
Oh, that's great. Is it for your birthday though, Sam? Is that why everybody's coming over?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm gonna have a cake. I'm gonna ask. Yeah. I don't know.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see them. My family is everything for me, and my cousin and my aunts and uncles are part of it too. They just follow me and they root for me all the time. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's great. That's awesome, buddy. Right on, Sambo. Well, we appreciate you coming on. I know you got some stuff you got to get taken care of there before you head back to Philly.
Yeah.
Family to see, things to take care of, and appreciate you hopping on with us, man. It's been awesome. Really nice to see you, man. Nice to see you doing well and having that spirit going into the season, man. So excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Ralph. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you, Nasty.
Yeah, too,
man.
Of course,
you guys,
man.
And
we'll see you. We'll see you next week.
For a long time, Nasty. Yeah, I didn't see you for a long time. I saw Ralph at the golf tournament, and it was awesome. But Nasty, we should catch up for sure. Like, yeah, I can play a round of golf for sure.
Yeah. No, I think I'm ready to go. No snakes, though.
Yeah, honestly, if you do this, it's not funny.
You
got me once and it's done. No, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, yeah, but I'm going to be on the edge, you know? Like,
You got to always be ready.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not going to ride with you. I'm the same car as you. I'm going to be with the other car. And, I'm just going to chill.
All right.
I'm going to hit first too, so I can get the car first.
That's a good idea.
I got a good plan here. Yeah. See you, boys. Beautiful. Thanks for having me.
Okay, all right,
brother. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, Sammy.
That episode was brought to you by SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com. Visit D-Nasty for the best grind in town and all your hockey needs. SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com and BodyCheckWellness.com for all your premium hemp-derived CBD and functional mushroom needs. Get well, stay relaxed, and enjoy life. And I want to say thanks to our special guest of Sam Morand, Big Sambo. Appreciate him coming on. What a beauty. Nice to see him have a smile on.
Kid, man.
See that passion and excitement coming out of him. He's just exuding it. So
it was cool. Such a good kid, man. Love that guy.
Yeah, man. Wish him nothing but success. And he's got the right attitude, as we talked about throughout the episode. Looking forward to see what he can bring to the Flyers and training camp here. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he's going to come in there, and, you know, and now you'll get some preseason games too, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be back. Hopefully more should be back to normal. Let's pray, obviously. I think that probably benefits him to be in more games, to be more physical, to kind of, you know, about to play too, not just to fight. I don't mean it like that. We spoke about that, but to be a presence for the team, which they need. And who knows, they could add something to the team, a little more energy, like another energy guy, maybe a guy that, you know, mix it up if they have to. And they, not that they don't have guys to do that, but you everybody knows what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, just
100%
to help out.
Yeah. And he will be in training camp as a defenseman and back.
Exactly.
You know, more comfortable
and
ready to rock. You know, I think he's proven that he can play defense in the NHL level. So, you know, instead of going to training camp as a forward and trying to make it a winger, he's got a little more of a plan going into it this year. So,
yeah, I mean, you know what, though, God bless him, but he had a good attitude about it. He said, okay, you know, whatever I got to do to help and, you know, be on the team, like you said, but so I thought it was funny. He was like, thank God I get to play D. Get to go back to play D, but he gets sent down and he's happy just because he can play defense, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
So But that's, yeah. Wish him nothing but the best, man.
Yeah. He's got all the right ingredients, man. He's wired the right way. He's got the right attitude. So he's a physical specimen. If he just, you know, stays healthy, I think the biggest key for him and, well, any athlete,
but, yeah,
you know, for him is staying healthy, but he's got the rest of the pieces there. So
yeah, he's had some tough luck, man. God, yeah. Poor kid. You know, just like every year look like, you know, okay, he's back, and then just something just stupid happened to him. Yeah. So, but you know, like we said, and you know, his attitude's so good, he just kept going forward, man. Yeah. So which, yeah, is nothing but the best for him, man.
No doubt. Yeah. He's come back stronger and continue to get stronger this summer. And he's gonna nice summer ahead of him with Dan Warnke, strength conditioning coach with the Flyers, yeah, and just really dialed in. So he's in recovery regeneration mode, and he knows what he needs to do. So yep, happy to see him you know, find his groove, and nice to reconnect with him.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And
play some golf with the big fella here this week.
No doubt, yeah.
He's back. Yeah, he's not bad, man. I'm telling you. Like, the swing on a guy that big, it's crazy to see. Like, Chris Pronger is a good golfer. It's just funny when you see a guy 6'7" swinging a golf club so fluid, you know, like it's crazy. Like, you know, he's not a scratch golfer, but for a man that size, just started playing a couple of years ago, he's pretty damn good. It's like your game. Yeah, it's just like your golf game.
Consistent.
Very. Consistently. You stay in the cart usually.
Consistently shitty, yeah. Yeah, that's all that matters. You know what you're going to get out of me.
Hey, that's right. I get about 12 holes, and you're like, I'm done. I'm done, boys.
12 rough holes.
I'm done. 12 rough holes, yeah. Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Episode 32, Nasty Knuckles with Sam Moran. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 33. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.